Succession number 27096, Reel 1.
Clifford Hall, Reel 1. Can you tell me, first of all, where you were born?
In Gosport.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And what did your father do?
He was a self-employed milk ranchman, like, you know, he delivered milk all the way around, like, you know, door to door.
Did he have a horse and a cart?
That's right, yeah. And I used to do a bit of a rain before I went to school in the morning and that, so I've never been afraid of work.
And did you have any brothers and sisters?
Yeah, I had two sisters and a brother. One sister just died. I still got a sister and a brother in Gosport still living.
Yeah, and where did you come in the family?
I had two sisters and then myself, then me, and then my younger brother.
And where did you go to school?
There was Allison Church School, and then when I was 11, I went into the Grove Road School at Gosport, yeah.
And what did you enjoy at school? What subjects?
History was always my, you know, best subject. That's why I've sort of carried on from that, from what I do now, like with Crete and things like that, and what happened during the war, because I was always sort of, like my kid has said to me afterwards, that I never used to tell him about what I did in the war, and that, same with my father, I never knew what that, and since then, I'll do so much research on finding out what people... I've just had a load of papers just arrived now, which I'll be going through in the Telegraph, which I can't afford, but my daughter-in-law sends them rain, and it gives all the chaps that died, you know, of the period, and it gives them all their sort of life story, or, you know, mostly in the war, not where they've done the war. And some of them are so good that you think, well, those chaps have never written a book about these things. And I've got them all recorded, right. And I've got them all in these folders down there.
Lovely.
And
did you do any exams at school?
No.
And what age were you when you left?
14.
Yeah. And what did you want to do? Did you have any ambitions?
Well, I wanted to go in and work for my father. But in that time, there was all these big amalgamated firms coming along. And eventually, he sort of got pushed out, and he had to sell his business and that. And I didn't know what I was going to do there, and I finished up working in a shop. I was in a shop right from then, 14, right up till I got called up, like, you know.
Lots of talk of war before it actually started.
Well, there was in 1938. There was a bit of a scare on then, like, you know, and they did call up some of the territorials for a time, and then it all quietened down.
Did you imagine yourself being involved in a war if there was going to be one?
No, I don't. I mean, when I sat in the chair and an old chamberlain got up and telling him, you know, that we had no best, Mr. Hitler has not replied to our requests, like, and it's obviously we're now at war with, and it didn't sort of strike me then what was going to happen, like, you know. I mean, I went on Dharma training, and there was still a phony war going on then, because when I was at Evan training, I mean, nobody thought it was, you know, it was going to go any further than that, like, you know.
So you were called up in 1940.
Yeah, January 15.
Were you expecting that?
Well, I was the right age. I was 22 when I had my, medical, that's right.
What did you feel about joining up?
Well, it was something different. I thought it was certainly different than being stuck in a shop all day long, like, you know. Of course, I mean, when you got to the depot and you met all strangers, and they actually become your friends, and as they were developed and you were enjoying yourself right until you went abroad.
Yeah. So when you got your notification of call-up. What did they call you up to? Was it the Navy, the Army?
Well, I wanted to go in the Air Force first as an air gunner, one of these heroes. And I said, oh, no, you can't do that. And then I wanted to go in the Navy because I had two cousins in the Navy. No, there was no room for her at the time. I said, well, why don't you go in the Army? It's all right. You've got no route marches or nothing like that. And anyway, that's where I finished up. I had to go to the Isle of Wight to go training there.
Right. So you joined up in 1940, January, was it?
Yeah, January 15th.
And where did you have to report to?
Albany Barracks at Newport, Isle of Wight.
Oh yeah. What sort of a place was that? Did you be?
It was all right. It was a barracks that had been built, I should think, before the First World War. But it was right next to the prison. I mean, you go up to the first floor and you're in your barrack room, and you look down into the prison.
So had you been to the Isle of Wight before?
Oh, yes. I used to go over there with the kid camping over there.
And yeah. What was it like when you arrived there? What did they do with you straight away?
Well, we didn't get a proper uniform. We had denims, what we called denims, like to train in. There was never any gas masks. You'd done all your training with your civilian one, what you took there, and we done train right through, and
So let's just go into that training a bit. Do you remember any of the NCOs when you arrived at Albany?
Well, I remember Sergeant Powell and Lance Corporal. Oh, I can't just think of his name now. They were the two that trained us in the section,
And how did they treat you? Were they
They were firm, no doubt, and they were properly, the old regulars, that's just sort of telling you, what you had to go through and that. But we enjoyed it
So you did the marching and the square bashing.
That's right.
That's
yeah.
The first thing was it.
Yeah.
And how did you get on with that?
Well, we coped. I think the worst thing it was at the time, there was a flu epidemic there, and that's what they're scaring of. We used to have Big Mac with this purple stuff to gargle for twice a day, at the time. Mm-hmm. But
a few people got the flu, did they?
Pardon?
Did any of these?
Well, no, I don't think we did really. And the food was awful. Oh yes, they still had the in the cookhouse. They still had these ovens were with solid fuel, and of course they'd never cope with so many, they'd been caught up and what you put out on and put on the plate you couldn't eat.
Really?
We had 50p a week, which was our wages, and you used to go down the town and have to buy something and keep going.
Did you make friends among that first intake?
Yes, and I was very sorry because I've tried to trace those chaps because we all got split up. But there was a Ron Venables and there was a Jim Parham from Havant, a great pal. But I've never exactly, found out really whether they survived the war or not.
What weapons did they teach you there?
Well, it was you actually had your rifle, you had your Bren gun and mortars and that sort of thing, and an anti-tank gun. That's what you had.
So they taught you all those at Albany?
That's right, yeah.
How did you get on with that? Were you?
Well, I suppose we were keen because everybody was. I mean, our wage, our wage was only 50p a week, But if you once you got your marksman badge, you got an extra 6 months a day on that sort of thing. So, you were off. Yeah.
And you got your marksman's badge?
Oh, yeah, I got that. Yeah. Good job I did, I think, really. Yeah.
So, how long were you at Albany? Roughly.
Maybe 6 months, I think. Yeah, I left there in May.
Right.
May the 19th.
Yeah.
1940.
Did they do any sort of selection about who should go where, or were you all going the same place?
No, I mean, there were some chaps that were on the other side of the barracks, which were doing on sort of in transport and that sort of thing, which, I mean, at the time, we never even seen a car, I don't think we, and that, but that would want to, that didn't stop us there, but...
So this was all infantry training you were doing?
Well, that's right, yeah.
Was it a regiment at Albany, or was it a
training? No, it was the first Hampshire, well, it was a Hampshire regiment, there was a depot.
Yeah, right. So, did you have any idea where you'd go when you left?
Pardon?
Did you have any idea where you'd be going when you left? Or
no, we didn't. And we finished up down at Seaford.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's between Brighton and Eastbourne, isn't it? Mm-hmm.
And what was it like there? Was it a different sort of...
Well, place? It was. I mean, we were at the HQ. Our HQ was in... We'd taken over... I don't know if it was a girls' private school or it was a private... It had been a private school. And they had playing fields at the back. Well, the house itself, it was taken over as HQ. We used the playing fields at the back for training, and also we were billeted round in, like, probably it was vacant there at the time. We were there right until then. They formed a holding battalion. Well, the holding battalion was they got all these troops, but they were all the sort of reserves from different regiments was around there, and they put them all together and made it a holding
Seaford.
Battalion. That's right.
At Seaford, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, had you been following what had been happening in France and everything?
Well, yes, and we were really right to the end there. We were on standby then to go to France. And more or less, all at once, there was a real flap on. They said that they were evacuating, that's when the Germans had started attacking, like.
What did you think about that? Because that wasn't what you'd expect.
No, I mean, we had to dig in along there,
all
along the coast, that's right. And we're there doing that, and all at once they said, right, moving, and they went by train, we went back onto the Isle of Wight.
Did you?
Yeah.
Right. Back to Albany?
No, we went to Freshwater.
Oh, yeah.
That's just near Cowes.
Mm-hmm. And what were you doing there? Were you...
Well, we posted all out in a different... and I thought that if the Germans had, followed on from Dunkirk, they would invade the Isle of Wight. So we were posted to all these important places on the, to guard them,
Right. So whereabouts were you?
And I was just outside of Cowes on a bridge. And I done very well there because all the people in these boat houses, used to come up and give us decent stuff to eat,
Did they?
I did. It was very good to us.
So how many of you were guarding this bridge?
Well, there was a kind of a section because we had to do a two on and four off. We'd done it for about 3 or 4 weeks at a time, And then you go back to barrack for a day and get your stuff cleaned up again, and back into somewhere else again,
So it was quite hard work then if you're doing that 24 hours a day.
Well, that's right, yeah. You didn't get much... Well, I mean, it's... You got into a routine, where you when you did come off, you sort of have a few hours sleep, Yeah.
What was the atmosphere like? Were you really expecting an invasion?
I don't know. I mean, you still... Well, you just had that idea that it wasn't going to happen, But there again, you were prepared, I suppose, really, if they did... We did go, it did come about...
And you had a rifle. Did you have anything else?
I had a rifle, yes. That's all I had.
Yeah.
Rifle and bayonet.
What was the name of the bridge? Do you remember?
No, no, I don't know. I wouldn't know that. No.
So, how long were you at Freshwater then? Just roughly, you know.
Yeah, at Goldtail Fort, I was July the 19th to the August the 4th.
Sorry, which fort?
Golden Hill Fort.
Right, and that's by Freshwater, is it?
That's right.
Yeah.
As you know, that all the all Gosport and Ports, because it got a surrounding of all these Napoleonic forts that was built, and the Napoleonic War, like, you know.
Yeah, and you were there till July, was that right?
To August.
To August, yeah. Right. And where did you go in August?
Well, we went back to the to our barracks at Albany, and we were all kitted out with tropical kit then. So we knew that we were going off somewhere, going abroad somewhere.
Yeah. And so we, what did you feel about that?
Well, I don't know. I think really, we were more at ease than what our parents and all everybody else around. I mean, they were all people that knew what the war, the First World War, was about. But we thought, oh no, it's we're looking for a bit of fun or something like that. But we went from there, and we went up to date. We went over to Portsmouth and got on the train there, and we went up to Liverpool.
Oh yes. Mm-hmm.
And we left Liverpool on August the 5th. That was the August Bank Holiday, which people were still celebrating August Bank Holiday or whatever there was, you know, what the situation was, you know, going on at the time.
Yeah, and you got on a ship, did you?
Well, we got on a boat, and we left there and formed up.
I was going to ask if you knew what the boat was called.
The Ormondy.
Ormond.
Ormond.
Ormond. O-R-M-O-N-D, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we went out round the north side of Ireland, and we formed up. It was one of the biggest convoys that left England, like. And that happened just before the start of the Battle of Britain, because we're at sea. You know, we've been... And they were putting bulletins up on the notice board and on board ship, what's going on, like, you know.
So a lot of people must have been quite worried hearing that London was being bombed and so on.
Yeah, well, that's right, yeah. And that.
Because that's when it got a bit serious, wasn't it?
And being away from home, like, you know. Mm. I mean, like, most of us, it's all the first time we've been away from home. Yes.
So what was the atmosphere on the ship like? Was it crowded or?
Oh yes, packed tight. I mean, we didn't realise. I mean, we had some death charge, you know, the bombing, you know, when they depth charge.
Yes.
At one particular time, you know, when they thought there was submarines around, like, you know. But otherwise, we had a free trip. We were called into Sierra Leone, pick up some fresh water, and then went on down to Cape Town. And the strangest part, when we get in there to Cape Town, it was dark, and you see it was all lit up, and you know we couldn't make it out. Coming from England, it was all black house. This place, you know, and I thought, well, they're at war, same as we were, like, you know. We were there for a couple of days, and they split the convoy up there. One half went to India, and the other we went on to up through the Red Sea and arrived in Egypt.
So what did you do when you were in Cape Town? You were allowed off the ship?
Only for a few hours. But they were very good. I mean, you get at the dock and it was all the people with cars and that, and take you up to their home and give you something to eat or something like that, or everything was free in the city. I mean, you could get on a tram and, you know, go anywhere. And I remember getting on there and the chap said, "Where do you want to go?" I said, "Well, get somewhere interesting." He said, "Well, we're about a cigarette factory." I said, "All right." And I didn't smoke. I went in this factory, and they were giving us, I had a battle dress blouse, and I was stuffing cigarettes in here, and I thought, "Well, what do I want a cigarette? I don't smoke." But I took them back to the ship, and you know, that's where I had some good mates there. Yeah.
So, a little break in Cape Town, and then... Mm. a hotter trip, I should think, up the Red Sea.
Well, that's all right, yeah. So it's stupid, really, because when we got to the part, especially the parts where that was still occupied by the Italians, you all have to parade on deck with your rifles in case they were, you know, we had any aircraft around, you know, right, try to shoot them down. But
did you see any aircraft?
No, we didn't.
And where did you land in Egypt?
Well, we went up to Ismailia. It was in Ismailia. That's on the canal. And that was a city under canvas. It was a terrific place, and there was all the regiments, you know, all the all chaps have been, you know, going out there to reinforce the battalions, because we were 120 strong, and we went out to join the 1st Battalion that had just arrived from India.
Oh right, and that was Hampshire Regiment.
That was the first Battalion.
Right, and they'd been out in India.
They've been, well, yes, a proper Indian regiment. Mm. And
so what was it like joining them? Because you were quite green, really, weren't you?
I mean, well, I didn't know. I was there. I was with them because we had a couple of weeks at Ismailia for training, you know, for especially the desert. I mean, you marching through the desert and the sand is a different thing in marching. And you had to train or be able to sort of go without water. Because, I mean, you used to go out in the desert with a full bottle of water, and then that to be full when you come back, or sort of thing, like, you know. Yeah.
How long would these marches be? I mean, how long would they take?
Oh, well, you mean they'd wait all morning or something like that, and they used to tell you, fellow, you left there, they left you there, like, you know, sort of thing. But we got over that, and then we all moved up to join the battalion.
Where was the battalion?
At I've been trying to think of it all morning.
It was nearby, yeah. Was it?
It was not actually right on the seafront. Not right in the front lines, sort of thing. Like, no, it was just there waiting, like, you know, for us to get up there and, you know, sort of get established. But
and that was the 1st Battalion.
That was the 1st Battalion.
Yeah. Okay. And so, what were they doing at that time?
Well, they were not kitting out, but they were sort of, you know, when our chaps arrived, I mean, you'd get sorted out, so many to one company and so many to another, sort of thing. But we'd only been there about 3 days, and then I was ordered to go to report to the company office, like, and I went in, and they said, right, you get all your gear, and you're going back. So the only thing, reason I could think of that, because when I was at Ismailia, I went on a purification water course, like, you know, which I thought was really, because, I mean, they did in the desert, like, you sometimes you went out on these long patrols that you would have to, there would be these wells around that, and when you found one of these wells, you had to test it to see if the water was drinkable, like you. And that's the only thing why I can imagine why I left the battalion.
Right. Tell me, just before we go on, about that water purification course.
Yeah.
So they taught you about how to test water to see if...
Well, I had it's something like one of these garden test things, what you get, you know, all the little tubes of stuff and all that sort of thing. It's just a long time ago. And then in fact, it was such a crash course. I mean, you had to sort of be there, take all the notes and that, and then you learned how to sort of filter the water. I mean, making dams with all the pebbles and that, and so the water filtered through to clean it all, sort of thing. And that's why I think really that I went to Crete. But I came, when I left the, as I say, I was only there for 2 or 3 days, and then there was only 3 of us going. There was and the other 2 were regulars, you know, the regular soldiers, like from the battalion. And we finished up, went into, they took us to Cairo, and we were confined to barracks.
Really?
And we were on standby all the time. We didn't know where we were going. And we had to hand all our tropical kit in again. So we were going back to Kharki. And of course, when I was in England, I had a battle dress, right, and those there. And of course, when I changed over in Cairo, I had the old service dress, the old tunic, and that sort of thing. And I had to hang like my topi it's one of the other hats and that sort of thing and everything. And there it was. I mean, and then.
Had they told you where you were going?
No, no. Well, all we did, we were on standby. We weren't allowed to leave the barracks. And we did one night, because I got friendly with a chap was in my... He came with eight of those, so he was a Lance Corporal in the Intelligence Corps. And he was a South African. And he said, you know, you're talking there. And I said, look, I said... Well, I said, I've been... always wanted to go places like this. I said, I'm in Cairo now, and I can find a barracks. I can't see anything. He said, well, I said, I know it, but he said, because like he's done a lot of travel. He's the oldest boy, oldest chap, like, you know, that's called Bruni. He said, well, let's go up and see the duty officer and see whether there's a chance we can wait for a couple of hours. And the officer said, well, you know, you're on standby. I said, yeah. He said, well, look, you can please yourself what you do, but he said, I don't know you. He said, I don't know you. So he said, I haven't seen you. I understand. I haven't seen you. So we did. We went out and then went around Cairo. And we went, and in fact, when we got back here, we were really lucky because there was a flap on. And by that time, we know they said, I pick up your gear. And we moved out. And they took us. We got a train there. And I remember that train because they all had wooden seats and that sort of thing, you know. And then we finished up in Port Said.
Oh, really? What did you see on your night out in Cairo, or day out?
Well, we saw a bit of the pyramids, and we couldn't stop for that much. But then we come back and took us to Noreen. He knew his place. I mean, I can't actually name the places, but I mean, it was a good. It was really worth going anyway.
Yeah.
With and that.
So you got to Port Said by train.
Yeah, and then we boarded the old Australian cruiser, the Sydney.
Oh, yeah.
And the Ajax was there as well, and both of us sort of was loaded up with all gear and everything.
Quite a busy scene at the dockside, I imagine.
Well, that's right. They were lashing guns to the side, you know, for putting on there and that. And we had a great... We had a marvellous time on there because they were Aussie boys, like, you know. I remember the first meal they give us rabbit stew, and they said, you could have this blooming stuff. I said, well, Lord, that's freaking different than what we've been eating, rabbit stew. But sadly, they were all killed. The boat went down with all hands.
What, the Sydney?
Yeah, Sydney, yeah.
Yeah. Did you get on the Sydney?
I was on the Sydney, yeah.
You're on the Sydney?
Yeah.
Oh, I see. It went down later on.
Oh, it went down in the... it actually hit off Australia. So the Perth, after it's done at a certain time in the Mediterranean, the cruiser Perth came out and relieved it, and it went back home service flight. And it was on duty out there, and I came across one of these... I don't know what they call them. They used to be very popular in the First World War. They're sort of these unarmed, well, they sold unarmed merchant ships. They fly certain flag that you that's a neutral flag, like, you know. And then what happens when the Navy went into to closer to see them, all at once the whole thing comes down, and they got some guns there, and, you know, the Sydney, by all accounts, realised what it was, and they both opened fire at the same time and sunk each other. It was a terrible thing when it happened. But I was in Australia at the time. I've never been able to see anything in here about it, like, you know.
Okay, stop you there.
Yeah.
Cliff Hoare, end of reel one. Cliff Hoare, reel 2. So.